If you haven't noticed, Columbia County is having an incredible surge in COVID-19. They've had three deaths in the past 3 days. There's like hundreds of people on mandatory quarantine in Columbia County. In Connecticut itself, we're getting into ranges that we shouldn't be at. It's getting so bad in Connecticut that the governor has brought up the prospect of possibly taking away some of those openings that happened. Right now, he's leaving it up to the individual local communities. But I can tell you there's too many communities that are showing too much gain. And if it keeps going in this direction, what we got back, we're going to lose. Now, with that being said, we have been affected here in the northwest corner of that way. And we have been getting daily updates. So if you like Maria Horn's Facebook page, you can get notifications whenever she posts. And Maria has been posting a lot during this pandemic. Yesterday, as I was putting together the news for today, I saw a combination of reports not only from Maria, but from the Sharon Hospital and from the state of Connecticut. And once again, I called up Maria and asked her to come in this morning and talk with us. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning, Marshall. Nice to be with you. I'll be on the lookout for those snowflakes. I haven't spotted them yet.
Well, they're the wet ones, but we'll see what happens. We've seen this spike all over the country, and really now, because we deal here at the radio station with the counties in three different states, Columbia County is really experiencing some pickups, and their county executive just issued a warning saying that, listen, this keeps going on. We're going to go back, and we're going to start closing down things. And basically, Governor Lamont issued the same statement yesterday, and we have one of the towns that's considered in the top 30 hotspots in the state in our region.
Yes, it was the governor gave a pretty somber press conference yesterday about what the trends look like. And one of the pieces of news was, as you note, that North Canaan is now in the red zone. I do think, after a lot of conversations, both huge conversations every week with that the state does with all the municipalities that are in either the orange or red zone, which are very helpful, but also conversations with Lisa Curter at Region 1 and Charlie Perotti, the first selectman in North Canaan, in which we all, confirmed that none of the information that landed North Canaan in that red zone is new to us. They're all, there's a lag, there's a timing lag here. So, it's not as if there's a sudden burst of new positive cases that we weren't already aware of. And when you look at the map, North Canaan is anomalous in our area, for the moment. We don't have other red or even, or orange or, even light orange. There's a whole range of different shades of orange in the state's color-coded map. When in small communities, a small change produces a huge result when you gross it up to make it comparable to much larger urban areas. But the statewide numbers are changing. And as the governor pointed out, there are now about a third of the population of the state of Connecticut lives in zones that are now considered red zones. And another third, about 38%, live in areas that are considered orange zones. So, that's a pretty significant trend line.
Yeah, and it's a trend line that's being shared. I mean, just the day before that, Connecticut issued its no travel list, and basically it includes just about every state except for Rhode Island and Maine and stuff like that.
That's only because Rhode Island, yeah, because they're part of an agreement.
Yeah.
I mean, we qualify for our own travel advisory.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, it's really it's a countrywide phenomenon, and it's funny because it does come down to the local level. The governors in all these states really want to hold off and not pull rank with the state, and they're giving communities a chance by themselves. And as you said, I try to explain to people the numbers that you see today, and even though the states changed their reporting, the state of Connecticut has finally gone to a system where they give you a week total and a two-week total and then the current day's total, which explains away a lot of the questions that were asked. But still, those numbers are anywhere from 12 to 36 hours old by the time they get in, by the time they get entered, and by the time they get put up on the website for people to see, those are rolling numbers. And I guess the way you look at those statistics, or the way we look at statistics and broadcasting rating statistics, you never just look at the snapshot. You tend to look at, okay, you take a point in time a month ago to this month. They're really averages that really, if you look on a graph over the course of time, you get a better idea exactly what COVID-19 is doing.
Yes, and you're right. So by necessity, they lag a little bit, which is good, because you want a more even trajectory instead of a lot of noise of things spiking up and down. I mean, I think what we should be looking forward to in looking ahead towards, in our area in particular, we expect there's a whole another round of testing of gear that's going on now, which they're very hopeful will show that they have contained their outbreak or their uptick over there, and those results will be coming back sometime, some point today, we expect. So that'll be a data point for us to look at.
And I think if you look deep into the numbers, I know when you look into the numbers in Columbia County, 65% of their increase is coming from nursing homes. And when it all ties together, I think what the county executive in Columbia County and what the governor in Connecticut is basically, I mean, we have a spread of COVID-19 from the inside out now, and it's and more than likely, it's probably younger people that live in the community that have been asymptomatic, and all of a sudden it gets back to older family members. So I think that's another thing to look at as well, is that if you look deeper into those numbers, most of the increases are in people that are 55 or older.
Yes, and as in those long-term care communities, there is a lot of testing. And so you do get you catch the asymptomatic carrier, which you don't necessarily in the community. And I do actually, on that note, one of the things that will come as a result of the designation of North Canada as a red zone is the state's investing some resources in getting more testing for us, which is great.
That's one of the positive things about it. You had pointed that out yesterday, that along with that designation does come more support from the state, which I know would be gratefully appreciated out here. Well, it's a day-by-day situation. Like I said, Mark Herko had called us, and he's scheduled to come on in the next hour. We're recording this on Friday morning at 6:20. It's a changeable thing, and people just have to be prepared for the unexpected and the expected, because it's going to be this way up and down, especially going into wintertime and with all these holiday seasons coming up. It's going to be a rough couple of months.
Yeah, we're going to have to hang in there. It will end eventually, but we're going to have to, dig deep and be careful about how far we travel, and continue to wash our hands and wear a mask and socially distance, and hunker down for a little while longer.
Well, if everybody washes their hands and keeps social distance and wears a mask, we won't have to hunker down. We just have to be smart. That's all.
Right. Yes, there you go.
Maria, try to have a good weekend and maybe a peaceful weekend this weekend.
Thank you, Marshall. Same to you.
All right. Take care.
Take care.
Maria Horn, who has been all over the place. And once again, if you want updates, if you're a member of Facebook, just all you have to do is like her Facebook page, and you'll see the updates pop up on your timeline. If not, you can go to her website. She is all over this, really updating 2-3 times a day on COVID-19 in our region.